I don't know where Rod gets this idea that they've got to twist my arm every year to come to the Glen. We get so blessed and enjoy it so much that I don't even twist it one little bit. The moment I get the invitation, I say, nailed down, we'll be there. I'd like this morning to give a very simple message from the 24th chapter of the Gospel through Luke, the last chapter of the Gospel through Luke. You have your Bibles? I think we'll read from verse 13. Luke 24, reading from verse 13. You remember that the preceding portion of the passage, we have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the women who met the angels, and the question of the angels was, why seek ye the living among the dead? Angels knew about his resurrection. It's rather precious to notice that angels were the ones who announced his birth. Unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's Luke chapter 2. And then in chapter 24, angels announced his resurrection. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Now this story of the two on the road to Emmaus, I'd like to just take a few moments on this for your consideration and trust that one or two things may be brought to your heart and mind. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and as sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. See, mark their unbelief. They had seen, they went to see his body, they went searching for a dead body, and they found it not. They met angels who said he was alive. And they came and told them about it, and still they wouldn't believe it. Now the Lord answered, verse 25, then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, they entreated him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. That would be between 7 and 8 miles. And they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now, this is not too strange when you remember that these disciples had been with the Savior. They had seen him cleanse the lepers and open the eyes of the blind, fed the hungry. He had even raised the dead. And so it would be very, very difficult for them to understand this fact, that this one who had raised the dead and had stilled the storms and cleansed the lepers and healed the sick and fed the hungry, that he should die. He just shattered their hopes. And here they were on their way down to Emmaus, 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. And the Lord came and walked with them. He drew near. And they were talking about the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord drew near. I remember that verse in Malachi 3:16. Do you know it? I thought you were navigators. Malachi 3:16, don't you know all your 3:16s? And they that loved the Lord spake oft one with another, and the Lord what? Oh, I like a different word. And the Lord listened in. You're talking about me. Do you ever stop to think that whenever you begin to talk about the Lord, he always loves to draw near to you? He always loves to listen in. You know, if we realized that, we'd talk more about the Lord, wouldn't we? Huh? And if they talked about the Lord and the things that had happened, they were reiterating all that they knew in the last 3.5 years. They couldn't understand the cross. They didn't believe that he should die and be buried. And they'd forgotten his statement that he was raised from the dead. You remember? In fact, the angel says, Don't you remember these things, what he said? For 3 times in the book of Matthew, you have 3 announcements of his suffering, of his burial, and of his resurrection. And each time the Lord mentioned that, you've got confused disciples. You remember the first time Peter said, Lord, you're not going to die. You remember? Matthew chapter 16. Why, I've just said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Die? Do you remember Jesus said what? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God. They couldn't get it into their heads that he should die. And if you had been there, you would have been just like the disciples. Don't be too hard on these disciples. If you had walked with one who had raised the dead and cleansed the lepers and so on, you would have thought nothing could happen to him. In fact, one day in John chapter 6, our Lord sent his disciples into a storm to keep them out of this temptation of making him a king. Do you remember that? When he saw that they would take him by force and make him a king, he sent his disciples away. He sent them into a storm to keep them out of temptation. And by the way, the Lord may send you into storms to keep you out of temptation. And here they are, and the Lord drew near. I just love this. The Lord is always listening in. They that love the Lord spake off one with another. And the Lord listened in. The Lord hearkened. Now mark what he says. He follow along with me for a moment. And he said, What are you fellows talking about? What makes you so sad? And they said, Who are you? Where have you been? Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days? He said, What things? Didn't he know? He sure did. What things? He was pulling it out of them. And then they went on in verse 21. And we trusted it had been he that should have restored Israel. And now that 3 days have gone by, and certain of our women went to find him, couldn't find him. Angel said to him, He's risen from the dead. And we don't believe it. We had hoped he would have restored Israel. May I suggest something here? Their hopes had been shattered through the death of Christ, but not their love or their faith. They hadn't lost their faith. They hadn't lost their love. What they had lost was their hope. You remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What I'm pressing, though, is his death and burial did not destroy their faith, nor their love for him. It did destroy their hope. Now, if you had been the Savior, what would you have done? Perform some miracle? Or would you have said to these two disciples, "Well, now, just don't be so sad. I'm he. I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord." No. You say, well, why were their eyes closed? Didn't they know him? Supposing you had buried somebody, and 3 days afterwards you saw them walking down the street, you wouldn't believe your own eyes, would you? And they were sad. They were filled with sorrow. Their heads were down, hope destroyed, discouraged, disheartened. And yet they talked about him. The Lord drew near. The Lord didn't perform a miracle. He did something else. This is what I want you to get a hold of. Verse 5, 25. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe, slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He drove them to the scriptures. I mean, mark, the Lord did this. The Lord drove them to the scriptures. Slow to believe all that the prophets have said concerning himself. And may I suggest that's our trouble today. We're slow to believe. I've been hearing at the tables little things here and there. And quite a few have been disturbed, as I said last night, about trying to get a hold of the great truths of Romans 6, of daring to believe, or what I spoke on Sunday morning on 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. It's very, very difficult to say that we have died once for all, forever, to sin. As a master, or as a place in which to live, or as a principle of operation, or as a practice. Our experience, we're looking here. Slow to believe what God says. The thing that delights the heart of God more than anything else that I know of is for us to believe what he says. You see, but my feelings. Well, what about the feelings of these two fellows? My experience says something else. I want to tell you, your experience will never measure up until you believe what God says. And he calls for faith. You've been studying the book of Romans. That calls for faith. Well, it's faith to believe that God pronounces you righteous, or faith to believe that God says that you're through with old Adam, or faith to believe that God says you're through with sin, dead to it, or faith to believe that God says you're through with the law. The death of Christ has severed the relationship from Adam's race, from sin as a master, and from the law as a rule of life. Now God says that. And I'm afraid that if our Savior were here in person, talking to you individually, and my, how I would have loved to have listened in, wouldn't you? Huh? Huh? Well, wouldn't you? Here's the Lord taking the scriptures, and he says, this is what the Bible says about me. Slow to believe all that it says. We'll believe a little wee bit. I'll believe this, or I'll believe that because I understand it. Listen, you believe it before you understand it. Indeed, you don't understand thoroughly until you believe it. The world says, seeing is believing. God says, believe and thou shalt see. See. I say he drove them to the scriptures. I don't know what your problems may be or what your feeling may be, but I know one thing. He wants to drive you to the scriptures. This has always been an encouragement thing to me. In Matthew chapter 4, when he was face to face with the devil in the wilderness, he didn't perform a miracle. He didn't call on his deity, though he was challenged on it by Satan. If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, he didn't perform some miracle. He just quoted the scriptures. He just went back to the scriptures. I want to say this to you this morning. This is where we must be. We're going to see in a few moments. He drove them to the scriptures. I can't overemphasize this. I have the privilege of conference work and being a pastor and being in a school, and I meet people in different phases of society, different kind of folk, all kinds of folk, rich and poor, bond and free, you meet them all. And I'm more and more convinced in my mind that the greatest need today for our generation is this book, and the greatest need for Christian workers, believe it or not, is the Word of God. He drove them, and I'm emphasizing this, he didn't perform a miracle. He didn't say, wipe away your tears. He didn't say, you've got no reason to be sad. He just said, oh, foolish ones, not to believe all that the scriptures have said concerning me. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, I tell you, I'd like to have listened then. Did you know the Lord was an expositor of the scriptures? You're in good company. And people, these folks, you know, who believe they're so intelligent, they say, "Why, don't take this Bible and read it the way it is, you know. Don't be so simple." I tell you, I'm in good company. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 4:18. You know where it is? Anybody know Luke 4:18? You make them memorize that, will you, Warren? Now, don't look it up now. You ought to get that Luke 4:18. I think it's one of the most astounding verses. You know it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now you know it, don't you know it? What is it? For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the brilliant. To the college professors. To who? To the poor. You sent me to what? Bind up the brokenhearted. To give deliverance to the captives. The recovery of sight to the blind. Now, what's the next one? Some of you do with the bruised ones. You remember it? Huh? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All right. He opened to them the scriptures. He was an expositor. I think Lawrence Sanney was telling me yesterday that Billy Graham went to Cambridge University and he spent the first three messages trying to be intellectual. Didn't he? Just fell flat. The fourth day he just brought a simple exposition of being born again. 400 students went forward deciding for Christ. You can never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Remember, it's the Word that's the sword of the Spirit. And he expounded to them. I say, I would love to have listened in. Boy, I think it would have changed my theology, maybe, if I could have listened to him expound the scriptures, things concerning himself. Now, will you please go down to verse 31, and I'll come back to the other in a minute. And their eyes were opened when the scripture was expounded. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Will you please notice one or two little things here? Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and their hearts burned within them while he opened to them the scriptures. Our eyes will never be opened to see him unless we spend time in his word. That's where he's revealed. And then when the truth gets a hold of you, your heart will burn within you. You know, excuse me a minute. I've quoted this verse before, but I want you to turn with me, will you? Have you got your Bibles? To Jeremiah. It should be 20. Let me read you three verses from Jeremiah 20, verse 7 to 9. I wish you could get into the spirit of Jeremiah. My, what a character. I think I told them last year, Jeremiah, of all the men of the Old Testament, no man ever got into the heart of God and experienced, shall I put it this way, he experienced what God was experiencing. You hear what I said? He was a man who entered into the very heart of God and experienced what God was experiencing. If Jeremiah was brokenhearted over Israel, what was God experiencing? Listen to it. Verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Do you ever feel like that? Huh? Every time I open my mouth on the word of God, I'm a derision. I'm reproached. I'm called a traitor. They abuse me. They seek my life. And then I said, I'm through. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. I couldn't keep still. I think that's what our present generation need. Burning hearts, opened eyes, and burning hearts for God. And yet, it's knitted down into the Word. When were their eyes open? As they listened to him expound the scriptures, and all he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. But the scriptures focused their eyes on him. Their eyes were open. They saw him. And their heart burned within them. God give to you and to me open eyes and burning hearts. And then he goes on to say, while he opened to us the scriptures. Opened eyes, burning hearts, open scriptures. Huh? We are noticing something else. Go back now to verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Going to go further on. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them and broke bread with them. I love this for this reason. He made as though he was going to go further on, and they entreated him. You know, fellows, girls, the Lord loves to be entreated. Do you know that? He just loves to be entreated. At the beginning of this little story, he drew near. They were talking about him, and he drew near and listened to what they were saying. What are you sad about? Well, where do you come from? Where have you been all these days? Are you a stranger around here? Have you heard all about Jesus? And they just poured it out. Then he opened to them the scriptures, and their hearts burned within them. So what was their experience as they walked along? Then he made as if he was going to keep on going, and they had treated him, "Don't go any, don't go away. Come on in. Come on, stay with us." And he was entreated of them. I tell you, the Lord loves to be entreated. I sometimes wonder if we Christians don't miss the boat on this. We read our Bibles. We do our study. Did you ever entreat the Lord to abide with you? You see, well, he's always there. I know that. He's always present. That's true. But you know, you can be present and have no fellowship. He loves to be entreated. Where is this verse? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, he with me." Where is that? All right, Revelation 3:20. I stand, it's a call, mark you, it's a call for individual fellowship. There's no call to the crowd. In Revelation 3:20, the Laodicean church. There's no call to the crowd. The call is to the individual. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and sup with him. Does that mean I'm through? And I will come in and I will sup with him. I tell you, the Lord loves to be entreated. I would suggest, and I'm talking to Mitchell when I say this too, because when I bring up these things, you only get the rebound. You know what I mean by that? And that's what it is. The Lord loves to be entreated. He'll draw nigh to you as you talk together about him. He'll open up the scriptures. He'll make it a living reality. That's when your heart burns, when the truth begins to live in you. And he loves to say, "Come on, have some fellowship with us." He loves to be entreated. Just one more thing. Go on down. He visits the disciples in the upper room in verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Oh, so to believe all that the scriptures have said concerning himself. And he talked to them about himself from the scriptures. He didn't talk about the kingdom for which they looked. He didn't talk about their hope of a coming kingdom. And by the way, they never seemed to get away from that. The early disciples, you have that in the book of Acts chapter 1. "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He didn't talk to them about the kingdom. He talked to them about himself. He made himself the theme of the scriptures which he gave to them. And their hearts burned. If he had talked about the kingdom, their hearts wouldn't have burned. He talked about himself. Then when he got the disciples in the upper room, he opened up their understanding. I would close with that verse in John 16, when Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. He shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. He will show you things to come." He loves to be entreated into our lives, into our fellowship, into our hearts. And then, by the Spirit of God, he'll open up our understanding of the scriptures themselves. Now, You've got opened eyes, burning hearts, opened scriptures, and the understanding of the scriptures. You opened up their understanding. Now, there's a good sermon for you. I won't charge you anything for that one. You got opened eyes, burning hearts. He opened up unto them the scriptures, and he opened their understanding. And he loves to be entreated. I just trust that you and I will entreat him to come. And on the glen, in the glen, wherever you may go, remember, when you talk about him, you've got an audience. Who's that? And the Lord listened in. Where's the passage? Malachi 3:16. All right. You take Malachi, you take John 3:16, and Timothy 3:16, and Malachi 3:16, and then Colossians 3:16. Work it all again. There's another sermon for you. I won't charge you for that one either. All right. Our Father, we just thank you this morning for the privilege of these few moments of talking together about the Lord. Open our understanding. Open our eyes to see him. May our hearts burn within us. And then may we entreat thee. You love to be entreated to come in a fellowship, to walk with us by the way. And Lord, open up our understanding. Open up the scriptures to us. How we thank thee for the ministry of the Spirit of God who is here to do just that thing. And enlarge our capacity to receive him. We pray that as we go to our various prayer meetings, the spirit of prayer and supplication and intercession will be upon each heart. And magnify thyself this morning. We think especially of Lorne, Sani, and George Sanchez and Tom as they leave in a few days for overseas. Give them traveling mercies. Fill them with all joy and peace in believing. May they be wonderfully used in the ministry of the Word of God. Channels, vehicles to bring thy message to human hearts. And give them a great deal of joy in seeing many souls saved. Thy people established. And the various ones they shall visit in the various centers, there shall be a time of encouragement, of rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. For us today, give us burning hearts, enlightened minds. And may Christ Jesus be the center of our devotion and affection and love this day. We pray in Jesus' dear name.